Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
This hour is brought to you by Cars for Kids.
I could do Stephen A's job, guys. It's not that hard.
Danny Parkins.
QB1 party. All are invited.
Host of Fox Sports 1's First Things First.
And you've been riding with Caleb. Do you feel vindicated?
Of course. I've been waiting all day for these next 8 minutes. I'm so happy to be here. Do you guys want to play a game? Like, what was your favorite Caleb Williams touchdown? We got four to pick from.
Former host of 670 The Score before he abandoned us.
That's a Caleb Williams custom, baby.
Jersey number one is going to the Raptors.
You guys made it seem like as Chicago Bears fans, we had our guy, Danny Parkins, all these guys.
Danny Parkins.
Fight Club, RIP Louis Anderson.
On 670 The Score.
Wait.
We go out to our Circa Sports Hotline and download the Circa app today, and that is where we join a very victorious one, Danny Parkins. Danny, I think I'm pretty sure if he were here, he would be having a QB1 party right now. But he's in New York, as we've mentioned. He is with Fox Sports 1. You can check Danny out on the newly expanded First Things First. That's from 4 to 5 p.m. And yeah, Danny, I did think of you because I feel like Caleb Williams gets Offensive Player of the Week in the NFC. He had four touchdowns. I feel like you would be doing something involving like balloons or celebration or something if you were here.
Yeah, that's probably accurate. I was never one to shy away from a stunt, though I would say that the celebration of the draft pick was kind of the QB1 watch party. Like I've been pretty consistent that Caleb Williams is good. He was good last year. He is good this year, and he will eventually be great. And that's Ben Johnson's job, is to get him to great. So it was nice to see him have a career game. I thought the best part of the game was that for his first time in 20 games as a pro, he took zero sacks. You had to go all the way back to when he played Stanford the last time that Caleb Williams was sacked zero times in a game. So I thought that was a real feather in Ben Johnson's cap. And so I didn't look at it as an arrival, but I looked at it as a step. A big step for Caleb Williams under Ben Johnson.
I think that's an important way to look at things when we talk about Caleb Williams. I've been on this since the outset of the season, Danny. Like, hey, this is going to take a while. It's probably not going to be linear, but he's going to get him to a place where you're going to believe, oh, that's why he was the number one pick in the draft last season. I'm curious, because we saw a lot of crazy stuff happen in the NFL last weekend. Which team do you think made a bigger statement from a national standpoint in week three? Is it the Bears or is it the Lions?
Oh, it's the Bears. I don't think that there's any question about that. Like the Lions have been really good for 3 years. I mean, the Lions won 15 games last year. The Lions were the one seed last year. If it wasn't for, you know, a historic amount of injuries on one side of the ball, I think we would have gotten a Lions-Eagles NFC Championship game. And based on what the Lions did last week with a healthy defense and a healthy Aiden Hutchinson to Lamar Jackson, like that's the team that I wanted to see play Philly in the NFC title game. Like, remember, Detroit, they beat the Chiefs on banner night week one to open two seasons ago, like after the Chiefs' last Super Bowl title. So the Lions have been really good for a while. They're first in points since 2023. They're third in point differential since 2023. Like the Lions have been a tier one NFL team, I think, you know, for about 2.5 seasons at this point. They just were derailed by injuries. The Bears, yes, it was against Dallas's defense. I understand that caveat, and I think it's a fair one, and we can get into it more if you want to. But, like, there was still a lot of debate on whether or not Caleb Williams was good. And then you see him throw, you know, basically flat-footed 62 yards in the air and have four touchdowns. I don't care if he was playing junior varsity. Like, that game was impressive. So that's not a homer take to me. I thought that, you know, Detroit is much better than the Bears. But in terms of a statement, something that was a surprising outcome, I think the Bears, you know, kind of surpass the Lions that way in a big way.
You alluded to it, though. The Cowboys are bad. They are a bad football team. Their defense is probably the worst part of their – that's why I think the Lions made a bigger statement because of, one, who they played, where they played them, and the fact that they lost both their coordinators and what we saw in week one from them. I think the Lions made a bigger statement. The Bears just said, we can beat a bad team.
Are the Ravens – is the Ravens' defense good?
I don't know.
Yeah,
because the Ravens defense without Matabuke and without Kyle Van Noy, you know, they're averaging, you know, over 400 yards allowed and over 30 points allowed through three games. So, I, you know, that game was expected to be the highest scoring game of the week if you go by the Vegas over unders. And the Lions have been, you know, like I said, one of the best offenses in the NFL, and by points scored, the best offense in the NFL the last 3 years. So, like, I don't look at the Lions scoring a lot of points on Baltimore as necessarily surprising. You know, that game was, what, 38-30? And it was a shootout, and that was kind of what the odds makers expected the game to be. Now, in fairness to your point, Marshall, like, the game was supposed to be high scoring between the Bears and the Cowboys also, but, like, who were you more positive was going to have a good offensive game? Like, Jahmyr Gibbs, Sam Laporta, Amon-Ra St. Brown, and Jared Goff? Or Caleb Williams, Luther Burden, and Rome Odunze? Like, I just think that there's a lot more, you know, pelts on the wall for the Lions guys than the Bears guys, at least for me.
Well, that's fair.
Yeah. And
you know,
the
so
Ravens
like, so
defense
that,
has
that
dropped
just struck
off.
Me
yeah.
as like a bigger as a bigger state. Now, the Cowboys side of it is fair, right? Like, people are like, well, so what does it matter that the Cowboys defense isn't good? It means that he was good for 1 week. Like, any NFL coach will say it's a week to week league. You got to go 1-1, 1-0 each week, right? It's all those cliches that every one of those coaches say, but there's like some truth in it. Like, the Raiders test is different than the Cowboys test. And then there's a test of the bye week. Like, how professional do the Bears approach the bye week? And then they play the Commanders, and like, we get Jaden Daniels against Caleb Williams. And can Caleb Williams try to make a statement that he can still be the best quarterback in his rookie class? And how do they compare to a team that was in the NFC Championship game last year? Like, Caleb Williams has not like arrived as a superstar because he beat Dallas. Like, you've got to stack good games, and you've got to stack good games against good teams, and then you've got to stack good games against good teams in January. So, like, we're a long ways away from the finish line here, but it was a good week against a bad team.
Well, and that's how I feel, but I do think we saw a good representation of what the offense can be, Danny, in that game on Sunday, because we got to see the fun stuff, the home run ball, the flea flicker, for example, that you mentioned with Luther Burden and Caleb Williams throwing that ball farther in the air than any other quarterback in the league has so far this year. That showed off his talents. And then you also saw just some nice trick plays from Ben Johnson as far as using different personnel in different ways, misdirections, that type of thing. But you also saw plays in structure. You know, what was your opinion of just the overall offensive look we got to see and the different ways the talent was used?
Yeah, it was great. I mean, it was kind of Ben Johnson's arrival as head coach of the Bears, right? I mean, week one, we talked about it. It was not very good, not because of play calling necessarily, but because of some of the game management stuff, the challenge, and then the failure to kick the ball out of bounds at the end of the game. And then week two, you know, the conversation is going to be about Caleb. I understand that, but that was about their defense. They gave up 50 plus points. And so, you know, it took a whopping three games for Ben Johnson to really make an impact and us to be like, oh yeah, this is different. So, you know, I thought it was great, but again, same thing. Like, now he gets a Raiders team that in the last 2 weeks is allowing 30 points per game and over 6.5 yards per play, and allowing quarterbacks to have a passer rating of over 120 against them over the last 2 weeks. And that was when they played Washington and they played the Chargers. And so this is a gettable team, and this is a gettable spot. They're not as bad as Dallas defensively, but they're not good, and they're trending in the wrong direction. So, you know, the expectation will be for Ben Johnson to stack good games, just like it will be for Caleb Williams to stack good games.
I know we're early in the season, Danny, just three games in, but I'm really curious on a league-wide note, what's been the most shocking storyline to you so far? For me, it's what's going on with Indiana Jones.
Yeah, that's a fun one. Although I will say I picked the Colts to win the AFC South in our official First Things First predictions, and Nick and I had a fun back and forth about it because he picked them to be the number one pick in the draft, and we were lamenting the fact that no one nationally cares about the Colts because it was a great place of natural disagreement for us. So I'm looking forward to spiking the ball on that whenever we can get the Colts into the rundown. The Colts are a sneaky, like, good organization. They've won 9 and 8 games the last 2 years with Anthony Richardson and Gardner Minshew as their quarterbacks. Like, it's not a bad team. It's just they've never been able to figure out the quarterback in a post Andrew Luck world. Like, they've had Jacoby Brissett and Phillip Rivers and Minshew and Richardson and like so many different guys. So they've been in a quarterback wasteland, but otherwise they're pretty good. I think the Steelers have had maybe the weirdest start to the year because they spend more money than any team in the NFL on the defensive side of the ball, but then they gave up over 30 to the Jets in week one and then were bad in week two, but Aaron Rodgers threw 4 touchdowns in week one, but then their defense was amazing in week three and Aaron Rodgers was bad. They were still able to win. Like, they haven't really like played to the plan was have a great defense and have an above average quarterback. And they've figured out a way to be 2-1, but it hasn't at all been according to plan. So I think the Steelers, maybe not the biggest story, but I think that they've had maybe the weirdest start of any team to a season. But the beauty of the NFL is every game matters so much that, like, you know, I can go through the whole thing and be like, well, Tampa is 3-0 with 3 fourth quarter comeback drives. That's pretty amazing. Like, Justin Herbert is who I thought he was, and the throw that he made for the game tying touchdown last week, I will be floored if there's a better play in the NFL all season that he did against the Denver Broncos and their defense. Like, what's happened to Saquon Barkley and Derrick Henry after their historic seasons last year? Like, there's so many great things in every NFL market that, I mean, I could literally go 32 for 32 with you guys if we had the time.
Yeah, and I feel like one of them, Danny, might be that Geno Smith is second to only Justin Herbert in passing yards after 3 weeks.
Geno slings it. Geno slung it in Seattle. Like, he was, you know, he is not afraid to throw the ball down the field. He's very accurate. He's been pressured a ton. The Raiders, the Genty pick has not worked out so far, only 3 games. They haven't been able to really pass protect for him. But Geno Smith is good. Like, I said on the Raiders, like, no team upgraded at coach and quarterback more than the Raiders did this offseason. Like, you know, I would say the Bears upgraded more at coach than the Raiders did, at least hopefully, with Pete Carroll at this stage of his career. But, like, Pete Carroll is an elite head coach at both levels of football, and Geno Smith is good. He's not great. He's not top 5 or anything like that, but he's a good NFL quarterback. So, you know, there's that's the beauty of the NFL. Every year, for them, like, honestly, like 28 of 32 teams can probably squint and be like, maybe this is the year that we get to 10 wins and make it into the playoffs. So, like, that's the real beauty of the sport.
And Slugging in Seattle was a great rom-com. One of my favorites.
Yeah. That was a good one.
I'm sorry.
You had to.
I love a good rom-com. I'm
rom-com draft?
Yeah. So,
who's your number one pick? Who's
Along Came Polly?
Mazel, you too. Mazel.
Yeah. Along Came Polly.
I mean, talk about peak Jennifer Aniston. My God. Hitch, really good.
Hitch
really
is up there.
Hitch is an excellent rom-com. Kevin James, yeah. Will Smith.
My Best Friend's Wedding. My Best Friend's Wedding. Like, a little bit more chick flick than rom-com.
Yeah, I don't know if I can put it in the rom-com category.
I'll send you, Danny, a video of an account, Rob Anderson, the comedian, and he goes back and he looks at a lot of the movies that we thought were good at certain times, and he does a number on Sleepless, or not Sleepless in Seattle. He did a number on My Best Friend's Wedding. Like, it'll make you rethink things.
Oh, yeah, listen, I mean, again, like, yeah, there's plot holes in the movie for sure, but, I mean, like, arguably the peak of the White Sox outside of the 05 World Series for the last 35 years.
That's hilarious.
Sad, but
My
fair.
Best Friend's Wedding.
Sad,
like,
but
that's
fair.
The White Sox should have been nominated for Best Supporting Actor for that movie.
Hold on, wait a second. So you talked about your banter with Nick Wright. What was the victory lap like this week at the office for you after the Bears win?
Oh, you know, listen, It was good. Well, because Nick, it's very upsetting. So the history here is like my first day on First Things First as just a guest, well over a year ago at this point. Nick unveiled his Bears are going to the Super Bowl take. And it was, and I was supposed to come on and just do a segment as like the Chicago guy. And I was like, what are you doing, dude? Like, you're like undercutting me. Like, this is like hopefully going to be my lane as like a Chicago, well before any job prospects or anything. He was like, no, like it's galaxy brain. Like, if I go crazy and then you're just like, the Bears are going to be 10 wins. Like, you're not then looked at as a homer because I'm out. And like, that's not what you were doing. And then.
What a trap he set for you. That's hilarious.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he was just like infringing on my corner. And then. After the struggles of this year and that Tyler Dunn article, it really spooked Nick, and he was starting to waver on it. So I made him 2 weeks ago say that I am the official Caleb guy of First Things First, and I wrestled that title away from him. And then the next week, he throws for 4 touchdowns. So, you know, Nick knows.
The crowd is back on the rightful heir.
That's right.
The prodigal son. Exactly. I love that.
He gets Patrick Mahomes and LeBron James, though.
You kind of also get Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, but not as much as he does. Trust me.
Fair.
Trust me. He's a born and raised Kansas City, and we took the show to Kansas City before Chiefs Eagles. This is no exaggeration. I think in Kansas City, the most famous people in order, because Taylor Swift is not a resident, I'd say in order, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Nick Wright, Chris Jones. Like, he is so famous in Kansas City. It is remarkable. It's unbelievable.
And then, Danny, I know you were in town last weekend for the Brain Up 5K, just continuing your work to support cancer research. Tell us about what that was like for you.
Oh, it was amazing. Thank you for asking. We raised a little short of 800,000 at the 5K, our biggest 5K ever.
Incredible.
With over 1,600 people on the lakefront.
So you didn't win.
I don't race. I don't. I walk. I walk and I turn around. I don't even walk the full 5K, if we're being totally honest. I got an MC. I got other obligations, and I'm lazy. But yeah, so with the radiothon, the 5K, and then we were the recipient of a golf tournament this year through Binnie's. Brain Up will have raised in this year a little just over $1.8 million, which I believe makes us the largest brain cancer charity in Chicago. So pretty incredible stuff, all of it going to research. And Mitch Rosen was kind enough to donate some marathon bibs. So we have people running in the Chicago Marathon for us in a couple of weeks for Brain Up, which we're hoping to raise around $30,000 from that. And so, you know, we've been doing big things.
That's wonderful.
Congratulations on that, Dan. That's not a small feat.
Thank you. Yeah, no, when I joined a few years ago, you know, the 5K we raised around like 350,000-400,000. And so we've been kind of doing some exponential growth the last few years. It's been pretty cool to see.
And I know that's still an opportunity if people want to donate. The Chicago Marathon is a great cause. So where can they find that info?
Yeah. Brainup.ngo. Just go to our website. There's ways to donate directly on the Brainup website, both to our marathon runners and then just to the cause. And, you know, I'm not quite into radiothon planning for next year yet, although I do have the Google Doc up with a few ideas. So people can always hit me up if they or their company want to get involved, because I say, you know, that's the way that the scoreheads are going to turn out. We're going to get the individual donations. We're going to do an amazing job. We're going to tell great stories. But like, if you want your company to be a part of a cancer fundraiser where you can honestly say that 100% of it goes to the cause, get involved, because I know companies kind of, it takes time for them to allocate their 2026 dollars. Like, that starts kind of Q4 of 2025. So hit me up if you want to be involved in the radiothon next year. We'd love to have you.
That is Danny Parkins, and I'm here to say that walking is still considered the best form of exercise. So you're still getting everybody's book, Danny. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Danny.
Thank you. Yeah, why run when you can walk? Why walk when you can sit? Why sit when you can lay? You know what I mean?
That is a very dangerous path.
That's a slippery slope we just went down.
Yeah.
Danny Parkins, teaching us how to be efficient in our movement. We appreciate his time. Thanks for coming on.
Stop there movement.
Yeah, exactly. Watch your football lying down if you want.
I know somebody who's moving.
I sometimes watch football on a treadmill, and they do make me run faster. It helps.
Oh, my goodness.
We got to run to Hallis Hall next. Mark Grody joins us with the latest from the Bears. Bear on Raheemy Harrison Grody on the Score.
Bears.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Bears.
Mark Grody, covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
Can I get a couple minutes with you here, man?
Man, I ain't even talking today, man. I'm sorry.
Okay.
We'll go next to Mark Grody. Are you from The Score?
How gratifying is it when you win that battle and get the football thrown to you?
What?
Host of the Take the North podcast.
Mark Grote. Mark Grote, WBBN.
Kind of shaking your head at God for a second, though.
Mark Grody.
Whatever, the Bears suck.
On The Score.
You ain't my bitch.
Okay.
He's still laughing. You heard him laugh just now. We go live out to Hallis Hall to the, as I heard it, the Stacey Dales NFL Network Studios. And that is where we find Mark Grody. He joins us via the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Hey, Mark.
Hey, what's up, Layla? I got the prime property here today after using the coat closet and then coming out of the closet after that. So it is good to have my own studio here. And I just think it's funny every time hearing Haw be like, okay, that's enough.
he really had a dad moment there, didn't
you
he?
You ain't my bitch!
Okay.
I mean, I need that, though. I need to be, like, if there's anything that I need, it's to be reeled in sometimes. I
call
them
the Mark Grody restrictor plates.
Yeah.
Which you
I totally
just
own that.
Singing, like, if he hadn't said okay.
Probably, and David knows that. And David likes my silliness, but you can only take in and digest so much. So he reminds me, look, you're not on a stage here right now. We're doing a radio show, so settle down.
Why?
So that... Guys, just got a little sneak peek of the Bears practice, which is ongoing as we speak. And I will say, and I am trying not to project or just say this because the Bears just won, but there did seem to be a little bit of extra pep to the step. It was a little louder. It felt enthusiastic. They were doing a forced fumble drill right in front of the media and a lot of us, which I'll put out on Instagram a little bit later on. I'm _, by the way, Mark _Grody, if you want to hang out with me on Instagram. So I'll pop that up there later just so you can have an idea of what I was talking about.
I'm just waiting for Mark _Grody because I know that's coming.
Yeah, you're like, hey, let me tell you about this crypto I got.
Jesus. Well, I have to have my sit down with Layla, who is much more efficient with social media than I, and she is going to take care of all that ills me on the Instagram. Right, Layla? We're going to have that meeting at some point in time.
Oh, okay. I can do that. Yeah, absolutely.
I appreciate that. We're going to have to wait, guys, to find out about Colston Loveland's hip injury, which, you know, from last we had heard, it didn't seem like it was that big of a deal. I could tell you that I did see Colston Loveland in the locker room after the game, seemed to be joking around with Cole Kmet in the tight end area. So that was a good sign to me. But we'll wait, and the official injury report will come out a little bit later on when we will find out more about the statuses of T.J. Edwards and Kyler Gordon, some of these key Bears that have been down. But we could not decipher or discern anything specific on any of those particular topics. But one of the big topics that was discussed out here and should continue to be discussed, because we know how much Ben Johnson values a good running game, and the running game has been suspect, I would say, would be the best way to put it so far this year. And I only say suspect because it's only been a few games, but it's not there the way they want it to. So Ben Johnson, guys, was asked what can be better about the running game.
It can be better all over the place right now. We're very conscious of it. We watched all of our runs as a group the other day, Monday, and I think I've alluded to it in the past that it can take a little bit of time before this all meshes and it all gels together. We got some new faces up front that haven't played a ton of ball together yet, and so that's part of the process. It's also for the runners to understand what we intend to do with some of these play calls, where we want that ball to hit. And then at the end of the day, they take their natural skill set and they make something big out of it. You know, our whole goal as a coaching staff is to get them up to the third level as much as we can to make these safeties and these corners tackle them one-on-one. We haven't been doing that enough, and so as a coaching staff, we need a sound plan, and then we need to go out there and we need to execute it just a little bit better than what we have been doing. But I'm not discouraged at all. I see how close we are to this thing really coming together, and I think that was really the point of the meeting there on Monday, was those guys see the same thing.
Mark. Yeah, DeAndre Swift, guys, 13 carries for 33 yards in that game, just for example. Go ahead, Marshall. I'm sorry.
No. I was just saying, correct me if I'm wrong, but did he have like a verbal sound effect when he heard the question before he answered the question there? Like,
Yeah. It was a right?
Yeah, he was absorbing the question. Shoot. He's like, we got a long ways to go with what we're trying to do. And
it was like a form. I think that's a form of the word shoot. Yeah, well, it's not, and I don't know if you guys know this, but I famously, in order to buy time on the radio when I was doing a solo show, I did a ch-ch-ch, which is different than a ch. So, yeah, like, we have to define all of these things.
Wait,
there's
what?
Ch-ch-ch, and there's ch.
What? Why were you needing to buy time?
Oh, yeah, so it was, it's a famous piece of audio, which I shouldn't remind people of because it doesn't make me or any of the producers look good, but it is hilarious. It's something that Parkins and Spiegel, when they were doing the show, whenever they needed a laugh, like they were having a lull, they're like, let's play the Grody breaking news moment. It was the Boston Red Sox manager. Who was the Boston Red Sox manager that got fired and then rehired? What was his name, or is his name? Who was the Boston Red Sox manager?
Alex Cora?
Yeah, Alex Cora.
Yeah, Alex.
Yeah,
sorry. Joey is White Sox. I went one generation too far.
Right. Joey was a White Sox player. He was a White Sox coach with Ozzie Guillen. Yep. I get the confusion. But yeah, there was a moment where I couldn't figure out what was going on. So on the air, I said, ch-ch-ch. And that became famous for just a little while, or infamous, I suppose.
I can't believe I didn't know that one yet. Okay, so that's good to
know.
The text line is chiming in. They love it too. Yeah. So.
Yeah, ask Chris Tannehill to pop it out for you guys later during transition. I'm sure he'd be delighted to do that. I'm sure Spiegel would love it too.
All right.
Lawrence is not as maniacal as those guys. Like, so Lawrence won't enjoy my suffering as much as Spiegel will.
No, Mark. The reason I asked is because I was trying to figure out, was he frustrated at the mere thought of like where the running game is compared to where he wants it to be? That's kind of my impression from that.
Yeah, well, I mean, the specific question that he was asked, Marshall, was where can the run game get better? So, yeah, I think we can infer from the, where can it get, but where can it not get better?
Exactly. I was making sure that I wasn't mistaken in thinking that that's kind of how he was answering, like, man, where do you want me to start?
Yeah, guys.
Yeah. Oh, wow, that is a different level.
That's how I took it.
The poofed is kind of like a get out of here. That's a get out of here.
PSH,
get out of here. Yeah, get out of here. I don't want to hear from you. Yeah, boy, I'm glad that we've been able to discern some of this, even if I can't discern anything else.
Welcome to Onomatopoeia Talk with Mark Grody here on The Score.
Great word. Great word, onomatopoeia. SAT Layla.
Let's not go that far.
Pow.
Well, so So I mean, like, you look at the guys who carried the ball, like what they are doing, what they're having to. Swift, Menungai, Caleb Williams, obviously. Zacchaeus had a carry. DJ Moore had three carries. Luther Burden had one carry for 7 yards. So you see the creativity. You see what Ben Johnson feels like he has to do with the running game because of the lack of dependable runners behind DeAndre Swift. And DeAndre Swift is not even. Has been kind of on and off for the Bears so far. So boom, pow, whack,
ping.
All that stuff. Onomatopoeia. Onomatopoeia.
Do we even have more time for what we're supposed to talk about?
Oh, yeah. You want me to? I'll move it along.
It's,
how about
it's
that?
It's our fault, too.
Yeah,
it
it's
is.
Definitely
That's
my
okay.
fault.
This is just a preview of what's going to happen to Old Crow tomorrow.
Oh, I was just talking to Clay Harbor. Just talking to Clay Harbor.
Because he's coming out.
Look, I got to tell you guys, I have these sick shades that I have right now. They're kind of like the mirrored sunglasses.
You
I mean,
did get complimented on them yesterday.
Yeah, I did. You saw it. You witnessed it. And I got complimented again today by Herb Howard. And then Clay Harbor, as we're watching practice on the sideline. No, no. He did not compliment me. He said I look like a state trooper.
You got the blue blockers out?
So I told him, I said, yeah, and I will pull you over, and I don't know if I'm going to give you a warning. So tomorrow at 5 o'clock when Clay Harbor joins us, I will be wearing my six shades. That will be happening.
Welcome to Accessories Talk with Mark Grody from Hallis Hall here on The Score.
Heck yeah. Okay, one more cut from Ben Johnson. Ben Johnson also asked, this is really good, actually. Ben Johnson asked what Caleb Williams should take away from the Dallas game going forward.
I think it's the comfort level right now of taking all this information over the course of the week, which is a lot. I mean, shoot, we just had a walkthrough and we screw some things up. And that's because we just talked about it for the first time. And we're going to screw a couple things up in the walkthrough. Well, we got to get better at it during practice. And then I think what I'm most impressed at with him and his process is the next day he really locks everything in from the day before. And we don't have to go back and revisit it again. So he's a quick study in that regard. And because of that, we can load up the game plan more each week. Week three was a lot more than week one. And hopefully that's our new normal here going forward is not just for him, but for the entire offense. We can have a little bit more in the game plan to help attack some of these defenses. And so because he's doing that and his comfort level's growing, we're able to grow as an offense.
Ooh.
Sounds like we've gone from remedial to 101 to now maybe the 200 level class, and we're going to keep going.
Or at least midterm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I heard. And obviously there was a lot more put on Caleb's plate last week. So, you know, hopefully we'll continue to see real progression. That's what we've all been dying to see. That's what we've been begging to see. Those are the questions that we've been asking and hoping and wanting various offensive coordinators last year and coaches last year. And then this year, where is the improvement? And now it's actually happening where we are actually seeing one of these quarterbacks get more put on their plate. And I can't wait to see what Ben Johnson puts on his plate for this game this week in Vegas against the Raiders.
Well, Mark, we look forward to hearing from Caleb Williams later this afternoon. I know you'll probably be on the afternoon show with the updates. Is that the deal?
That will be the deal, yes. I will have Caleb Williams for the afternoon show, and I will be inside the locker room, and you never know what's going to come out of the Bears locker room. So it's probably going to be a much happier locker room this week, which is awesome.
Ah, yes, the premier locker room show in Chicago.
Inside locker room.
Still my favorite.
I have a lot to, you know, keep up with here. If I'm going to be the premier locker room show after, you know, after what Bruce has done his whole career.
Wow.
I gotta step my game up, man. I mean, you know, Bruce and I have both been. I gotta believe that Bruce and I are probably neck and neck for most locker rooms been in at the Score. So it's gonna be a standoff.
We appreciate you, Grody. We can't wait to hang out with you tomorrow at Old Crow. It should be a ridiculous time.
Oh, it will be a ridiculous time. Bye, guys.
Bye, Groats. It will be a ridiculous time.
Oh, yeah. Don't forget, you can join the Score and Budweiser tomorrow from 2 to 6 at Old Crow in Wrigleyville. Our show will be at the special time of 2 to 6 p.m. That's because Spiegel and Holmes are 10-2 tomorrow, still in our day spot, because they got to get on a plane and go to Vegas. Stop by to register to win special prizing from Budweiser. You can say hello to Mr. Grody, Layla, and myself before the Cubs game. Also, Clay Harbor in the 5 o'clock hour if you want to say hi to the Claymaker, air quotes there. That's tomorrow at 2 at Old Crow in Wrigleyville. It's all brought to you by Budweiser. This Bud's for you.
Gang's all here.
Gang's
going to
be all fun. Be out. We're going to be outside.
We're outside. Scary.
It is kind
of
scary.
Okay. We've got a lot of requests for this Grody sound effect. And one of the requests is from me. I know we have a bunch of stuff coming up that we have planned for this next segment. But what do we think? Can we produce on the fly here? Team.
If I can find it, we will do it.
Okay. In the meantime, we also have something decent because Ray and Marshall cooked something up. So audio fun. It's just a matter of what it is. You'll find out next on Raheem Harris and Grody on the Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Raheem Harris and Grody, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Oh, God, we need to talk about that as a show.
What do we need to talk about?
This reminds me of that terrible AI float commercial. And I remember watching it and I was like, I go, what self-respecting human would be a part of this? And then I was like, oh, no, it's AI. Turns out it was AI.
That is the worst commercial.
I think I can.
Dare like, I say of 2025.
This
the
is
worst
what
commercial.
Like when rich people get in a room together and there's nobody to stop them, like humans and stuff. And AI's like, sure, that's a good idea, person. And yeah. then they're like, well, we got it approved. No, you didn't. You didn't air it. And you didn't look and see how ridiculous it is.
It's bad.
Oh.
The song does slap, though.
I don't think it's a bad commercial.
How
well,
dare
that's
you
do
Marshall. That to
that's
the Quad
you.
City DJs? No, it is a terrible commercial. It doesn't even make sense. Why would all those people be on a float? A float is for winners or like representing a certain
it's
organization.
About the whole, that's the organization.
No, but you're not riding a float when you're watching football. You're watching football.
Yeah,
I've been in many parades.
They're just trying to parade in the NFL and give everybody a touch.
As somebody who took dance for many years, I've been in many parades. I would want no part of this.
Much like Ben Johnson, when he looks around the running room, he's like, I guess everybody's getting a touch in my running game.
Yeah, but that's still not this stupid float.
Come on, ride the float.
It's so bad.
The Chicago Bears are represented by a guy dressed up as the Pope, which that I'm okay with.
I thought
with.
That was good.
That
I
was
thought,
good, but overall,
I seriously
it's
was
a
like, I was like, what? How much does an actor get paid to do this? None.
I am okay with the Chicago representation because of the timely nature of the Pope, but overall, it's cringe.
No. Ray and I are we're in lockstep on the float discussion.
Well, according
and
to
how
the,
bad it is.
According to the text line, this Grody on Alex Cora thing is also cringe, and that's why we need to hear it.
Yeah, but at least it's real people.
Those are real people?
No, they're not. They're depicted by AI. No, it's AI.
Oh, the whole thing's AI?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know the whole thing was AI. I thought it was just portions were AI.
So this audio, this Mark Grody audio from a few years back, can best be described as when breaking news in a broadcast goes wrong. That's really the best way to describe this.
So, all right, back to the baseball thing. As Alex Cora, do you say he was fired or he was, because I haven't seen it cross here. Has he been fired or was he suspended? All right, we'll try to figure that out here momentarily here. But it probably has been suspended. It was the same thing that Rob Manfred
Yeah, Mark. Jeff Passan, just 47 seconds ago, Alex Cora out as Boston Red Sox manager following the fallout of the sign-stealing scandals that have enveloped baseball.
Out. So he uses the terminology.
Enveloped.
That's what I said. Okay.
So wait, so he's out as manager?
Yeah.
No, there's multiple things that there's are hilarious so about that. That's not even the funniest thing in the clip.
What do you consider to be the funniest enveloped thing in that clip?
Enveloped.
I was like, enveloped. I was like, what?
What was that other sound effect? That's
was
chaotic.
The thing. Yes, that was like, okay, the guy's name was Julio that used to work here, and it was like he cracked the mic. You can envision someone rushing to the microphone. Well, it's
I'm like, what? Did you just literally drop in from somewhere? Did something fall down? Like, also, apparently, Drewski's cameo is real, and the Rizzler. So there were a couple of real people.
Bob Manfred.
I was like, I saw people. Like,
just dropped in.
I was like, I saw real people that I know exist that would be suing if their likeness was used in AI. That's why.
I hope you guys got paid a ton of money.
Yeah, it's the NFL. They got money.
Well, there was a lot of AI surrounding real people in this.
It's just not a good commercial.
It's cringe, man.
It doesn't promote anything. It doesn't make sense.
It promotes the NFL. Okay, it does promotes
the NFL in a really lame way, in my opinion.
Yeah, if there's one thing I need to raise awareness of while watching an NFL game, is the NFL.
Like, think about this. Think about this. For anyone...
Hold on, let me drop in. Yes, I agree with you.
For anyone who is not a fan of the NFL and they may be trying to attract to watch the NFL, does that do anything for you?
Maybe.
I don't think so.
Drewski's very popular with the youth.
That's true.
No, Drewski's cool except for that commercial.
Wow.
Yo, they should have just let Drewski cook on the commercial. They would have been better.
Nah, because then they have to bleep out a lot of language and such.
At least it would have been authentic.
Okay.
And yeah, the Rizzler... I just didn't think it was a real rendition of the Rizzler. I thought it was computer generated.
The worst of the Rizzler. Well, we've reached a new low.
I seriously thought it was computer generated.
Man, listen.
It is computer generated because he ain't that big. He's a giant in the commercial.
I think that maybe there's some yucking of the yum here.
The AI
it's not
yum?
Yummy to me. It's not yummy to me. I just want to point out, it's not yummy to me. I will not partake per se, but I understand... I don't know that I understand.
Yeah, you started to defend something that you really probably don't want to defend.
Yeah, like that's I'm trying to also be authentic in this moment and say it didn't bother me the way it apparently has bothered the masses. And by the masses, I mean the two of you. Robbie
Ray
really
and
chipped
I,
in.
Ray and I text about it like off our group thread.
Every time it comes on the TV,
Robbie,
I'm texting.
Are you bothered by this commercial?
No, not at all. But my brain has been like anytime there's an ad, it just washes over me. Because
nice.
I mean, like in our job, I feel like the amount of time we spent listening to advertisements is like probably 10% of my day.
No, but some are good. Yeah, you find yourself like quoting commercials that you've seen a lot that aired during games.
What's the ad that gets stuck in your head the most?
The jingle from the Cars for Kids, for sure. For
Duke's
sure.
Mayonnaise.
Sometimes it's just quotes, too. Like the old DirecTV commercials where the CEO's like, or the fake CEO character is like, sounds hard. I'm going to Barbados. You know, like those are always funny for me. Or like the one with the guy where he's like, but I also like savings the money. Like, I used to say that all the time, just randomly.
Want to Get Away is up there. And that's not even, hasn't even been on the air in how many years?
I do like Savings the Money. That one is like 15 years old. Yes.
Anytime there's a pause in anything that's coming out.
Enveloped.
I just... I'm glad you got your thoughts out about the float, and thank I'm glad we heard the Grody audio.
You know what? That's been on the back burner for a little bit because of more pressing issues. Yes. I'm glad we got that
yeah,
out.
I'm glad we got that in, though. I'm glad, I feel like you guys have gotten atrocious. Things off your chest. What is that? Was that?
It's atrocious. Like, hey, guys, let's raise awareness for the NFL and NFL games with this entirely encompassing NFL thing. No.
I think you're really mad at the NFL is taking over the world. And like,
when I don't mind it because we were just talking about watching the Thursday night game.
No, but Mike Florio, when he's talking about the gateway of 10% equity in ESPN, and now if they want 10% equity in all these other media companies, they'll be everywhere.
Just get a better production staff. Just get a better commercial department. I'm sure it'd be fine with it.
I'm sure they have that was contracted out.
630 is correct. Parades are also good for getting gum thrown at you.
Wow.
So true.
That's crazy.
Your job is to throw candy at other people. That's a good parade. They're not even doing that in this float.
Missing it. Missing the low-hanging fruit.
We'll get float thoughts from Lawrence Holmes and Matt Spiegel. And maybe their thoughts on Alex Cora next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.